welcome to Strange Talk with Doc. I hope that you're having a good day. I hope that everything is good with you, and I hope everything is good with yours. This is not going to be a very short show. It's not going to be a very long show, but there's no way I could fit everything that I want to talk about in a half an hour. So bear with me, if you please. Just be reminded, this is not, like I said, there's too many topics today for me to go through, for me to hit this off in 30, 35 minutes. So if you're looking for that short podcast that you might normally get from Strange Talk with Doc, it's not going to happen. So I wanted to make the title of this show, I Will Keep On Walking With My Limp. This is actually a Christian song by a gentleman that came out a few years ago, but it made me think about some things. It just made me think that if you are a person of faith, your God knew you before you were born. Whatever troubles that you get into, they were meant for you. They were meant to happen for you. You know, it's how you handle it. If you're going to be discouraged by it, if you're going to see it as a failure, you're going to not have success in all the fields that you want to chase, you have to learn to not complain. Don't be like Job. Don't complain. Don't moan and groan to your friends. Have faith. Be strong. Be courageous. Carry it with a badge of honor. See, your limp could be a metaphoric limp. It could be a physical limp. It could be a real emotional limp. You could be born with a disfigurement. And that is the limp that you have to walk through this life with. You could be born with a physical shortcoming. You could be born with what's considered a societal shortcoming. Now, you cannot let these things hold you down. You cannot let them defeat you. Because I don't care what is going wrong with you, you can contribute to humanity. Your strength can be a rod that other people say, well, this person is like that. Why aren't they always upset, down, and depressed? No, your outward man should not be a guide to the world of the inward man. Let the inner man be always physically stronger than the outer man. Even if you look like a lattice, if you look like Adonis on the outside, be even stronger on the inside. Your strength could help save lives. How you handle situations. You might know somebody who has a problem hearing, a problem seeing. They were born untraditionally short. They're very fat. But does that mean that they're supposed to not live life? Does that mean that you're not supposed to go through life and have the best out of life that you could possibly have? So whatever your limp is, handle it. Actually say thank you for the limp that you have. Because that thing was made for you. It was perfectly designed. It's just how you carry it. It's yours, and it might not be yours alone. Some people are born where they have predilections to addictions. Some of these addictions, let's stop the garbage. All addictions are bad. So your strength in fighting said addiction could help other people in their addiction. They could help them get up off the curb. Just remember, whatever limp you got, man, woman, child, carry that limp. Be proud of that limp. It is not an anchor. It's just a limp. Okay? And now I want to go on to the regular portion of the show. Thank you for bearing with me. Well, the news of the world is Israel. The news of the world is Israel. Last week I punked out. And I am ashamed of myself that I didn't speak up and have anything to say. Okay, first of all, what happened at the hospital? I don't have to tell you about the bombing. Who did it? Who is assimilating the news? I cannot make that judgment call. I don't know who to trust in this situation. We're going to get a lot of convoluted information. How Joe Biden went over to Israel and handled and conducted himself. I'm ashamed for my country. I'm ashamed for Joe Biden. He went over there like he's some cowboy. Don't do it. I double, triple dog dare you to do anything. I'm not going to force Israel to open the borders. He should have never left Israel. He should have never left Netanyahu without saying, I don't give a rat's ass how you handle Hamas. Now, let's get this straight. I'll go back to point one. What Hamas did was deplorable. It was disgusting. It is off the scale. It is beyond the pale. Those were human beings. Those were unarmed people at the kibbutz. Those were unarmed people that they attacked and killed. Any child that was harmed is an abomination. And that goes for both sides. For Israel to not allow food and water to women and children is disgusting. Now, you want to sit back and you want to call me anti-Semite for saying that? You can go fuck yourself. Anti-Semite is not what I am. I am not Islamophobic. I am not anti-Semite. I am a human being. And being a human being, innocence should be protected. That shows real love. When you go out of your way to protect your enemy's innocence, you are showing a humanity that the world does not normally get to see. And Israel had an ample opportunity last week to show compassion that you don't usually get to see between people who are enemies. I understand vengeance, but vengeance is not man. Vengeance is clearly said, even in their holy word. Vengeance is the Lord and the Lord's alone. That does not make it Israel's vengeance. It does not make it some jihad's vengeance. It makes it God's vengeance. I wish that man could look at man and see a creature that bleeds, a creature that needs to eat, a creature that needs to rest, a creature that needs peace, love, and tenderness. And maybe we would be better off, but we're never going to get there because this is the world we live in, and this world is ruled by not love, not peace, not compassion. This world is ruled by evil forces that enjoy pain and suffering of other human beings. And then we feed into it, we build it up, and it becomes normalized. So I cannot sit back and say that I am happy with how Israel is conducting itself. You know what? Those people are criminals. Get the criminals. But don't commit crimes to catch a criminal. Because now you're just as bad as they are. Okay? So Trump's attorney, Sidney Powell, and Sidney's a woman for some of you who have their head in the sand. Sidney's actually a female. She pled guilty in the Georgia election subversion case. Kenneth Cheeseborough the very next day took a last minute plea. Now both of them are going to testify in this Georgia election case. The noose is tightening around Donald Trump's neck. He's got to be wondering what is going on. But you know what? Rats are smart enough to jump off a sinking ship. Rats swim pretty damn well, especially when they get plea deals from the federal government. This is not uncommon. The federal government offers people pleas all the time for the testimony. They want the big fish. They throw the guppies back in the water. And you know what? In this case, this is right. If we can end Donald Trump's election bid, if we can end Donald Trump's criminal empire, if we can expose him for wanting to steal the election in the United States of America, which goes against everything that we stand for, stealing against the people, then I'm all for these two people testifying against them. Now it's up to Rudy Giuliani. What does Rudy Giuliani want to do? Does he want to die in prison, maybe? He's already been disbarred. Whatever reputation he has is tarnished. His legacy is garbage. It's a time for Judy to actually look out for himself, because Trump has thrown him under the bus many times. Okay, now we got these, the House of Representatives. These dudes voted out, these men and women voted out Kenneth McCarthy on October 3rd. Today is October 23rd, and we still do not have a speaker elected. It's time to cut it out. It's time for these people to conduct themselves as adults, look out for the best well-being of the American citizen, because without this, we can't get a new budget. They're really not at work. This is like a moving strike. Hopefully, by the end of the day, they will elect somebody. Do I think they're going to elect Jeffries, who's a Democrat? No. Even though he did get a load of votes in the last election, I don't think the Republicans are going to actually, when they have the majority, vote a Democrat in to be the Speaker of the House. So Burt Young, you know Burt Young. He played Paulie in 6 Rocky films. He passed away at the age of 83. He was Rocky's brother-in-law, Talia Shire's brother. You know what? He added a lot to those Rocky movies. He lived to a pretty decent old age, 83. Most of us will be happy to take 83 unless you're 82 years old already. So rest in peace to Mr. Burt Young. I also lost a buddy. I'm not going to call him a friend, but it was a buddy, somebody I knew well or slightly on the outskirts of life, but knew him well enough that, you know, we spoke and we were always peaceful and cordial every time we ran into each other. And I would like to say a rest in peace to Franco. Franco, rest in peace, brother. We have some shared relatives. He had children by my first cousin. So, I mean, I did get to spend some time with him. Matter of fact, me and him spent some funny times together, going out to dinner for other buddy's birthday. I was shocked to hear the news of his passing, but it seems like every couple of months, you know, you get over 50 years old, and especially when you're a black man in America, it seems like more and more people pass away. Every time you talk to somebody, they always, did you hear that such and such? Did you hear about such and such? And it becomes normal. And I hate it, but it's reality, it's life. So I watched a little TV, not a lot of TV. I watched Found, TV show on NBC Found, about this crew of people who find people who are missing. Well, on one particular episode, there's a guy named Zeke. He's like their techie guy. And he's confined to his room because he suffers from agoraphobia. And he actually hit his head because he couldn't even walk up 3 steps to get a delivery that he needed for a special occasion. And I'm wondering how they're going to handle this going forward, because he really needs help. I don't think anybody should be a prisoner of their own mind in their own homes where they're scared to go outside. That is a horrifying idea, that everything in the world is out there to hurt you and that you are so scared you can't even leave your own domicile. And I know there are probably thousands or tens of thousands of people in the real world who suffers for this. I want to see how they handle this situation going forward. I'm sure it's a very sensitive subject that they have to deal with. They have to keep it close to reality. So Gabby was shaving her kidnapper. And so far, we only know Zach from whatever that show is as Sir. His name is Sir so far. We have not heard what his given name is. But he was playing head games with Gabby. He made her actually think that she was responsible for the other young lady being kidnapped. And the way that they came to the conclusion that she didn't was pretty cool. I thought that was kind of nice. Now, I'm wondering if this guy's going to ever get free, if there ever going to be a physical confrontation between Sir and Gabby, and how that's going to be handled. Eventually, he might be able to pick the chains on his locks. I don't know, but I'll play it out as it goes. The Irrational is a very good show. They dealt with what's called the zero-sum bias effect. Let me repeat that. Zero-sum bias effect. If you do not know what that is, I really am not going to explain it to you right now. What you need to do is go look it up online. It's a very interesting subject matter in psychology or sociology, and it's something that maybe you could look at maybe in your life somewhere or another. There's an effect and cause with a zero-sum bias with yourself, and you need to work on that. SNL had a very interesting show. Bad Bunny was not just the musical guest. He was also the host. Bad Bunny does not speak, the best English. So the way they broke this show down, where they blended Spanish and English throughout the whole episode, I thought it was pretty cool. I'm sure this show got ratings off the yin yang in Puerto Rico. It probably was the number one show of the week in Puerto Rico, maybe unless baseball was number one, because they were able to actually pull off basically a Latino version of a Saturday Night Live in an American country. I thought that was something else. And you know what? That shows the star power of Bad Bunny. I mean, I'm not a big fan or nothing, but you got to have some real star power to be able to pull off something like that. So the Las Vegas Aces became the third team in WNBA history to win back-to-back titles. But the first team to do it in 21 years when they beat the Liberty, the New York Liberty, 3-1. Asia Wilson won the MVP of the finals. Congratulations to the Las Vegas Aces. Now, we got baseball going on. Right now, the Phillies are up 3-2 over the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Astros and the Rangers are going to go to a Game 7. If you're excited about a Game 7, you got a Game 7 between the two Texas teams. And during the course of this series, Jose Altuve broke the record for the most home runs of all time in the ALCS. I'm hoping that the Rangers win, and I'm hoping that the Diamondbacks win, so we could have a Diamondback-Rangers World Series. I don't think the Rangers have ever been to a World Series. I'm not too sure about the Diamondbacks. I'm not a fan of Philadelphia. So, you know, I like Bryce Harper a little bit, but that's it. I'm not a Philly fan at all. We had a UFC card. It was Islam Makhachev versus Alexander Volkanovski. This is the second time they fought, but this time, Islam was able to defeat him with the first round TKO. He hit head kick, followed it up with punches, and he won that bout. Chazmat Chimaev defeated Kamaru Usman, who took the fight on short notice, and it went to a majority decision. Kamaru Usman probably wasn't as busy as he should have been in this bout, but it is what it is. Magomed Ankalaev and Johnny Walker ended in a no contest. It was an unintentional foul. There were more than one unintentional fouls on this card. It was kind of weird. Akram Askalafrov defeated Wale Alves TKO in the first round, knee and then punches. There was a lot of doffs and offs. I mean, this was that kind of show because it was in a Muslim country. And I don't want to really go through all of them. Was it an interesting card? Was I shocked that Alexander Volkanovski got defeated in the first round by anybody? I've never seen that happen to him before. But it is what it is. The UFC will be taking off the next 2 weeks. Their next card is not to November 11th. No, there is one fight I want to talk about. Shahram Magomedov defeated Bruno Silva by unanimous decision. And this was a battle, people. These two went at it. This redhead dude is just hell on wheels. Magomedov, kicks, punches, elbows. Even though he did strike Bruno with a 12-6, which should have had a referee stoppage, maybe even a disqualification, but the referee didn't catch it. And, you know, you could damage somebody. He can, I hope he never does that again as long as he fights, because I don't want to see him actually hurt somebody bad doing something like this. Like I said, November 11th is the next UFC fight. You got Jelton Almeida is going up against Derek Lewis. It was supposed to be Curtis Blaydes, but Curtis Blaydes has been replaced. This is going to be from Sao Paulo in Brazil. It's going to be on ESPN Plus. You got Denise Gomez is going up against Angela Hill. You got Islam Bamev versus Vince Pichel. Lucas Alexander is going to take on David Onana. Gabriel Barthim is going to take on Nicola Dalbis. So this should be an interesting card. Brazil always has a very loud, wild crowd. Mark Duquesas is fighting Koo Francis. Now, I am not a big fan of Mark Duquesas because of his politics, but we'll see how this turns out. Tuesday, October 24th, the NBA season restarts, people. NBA season starts, and it starts off with the Lakers versus the Nuggets. I like to give you what I always consider to be my games of the week, so I'm going to start off on week one. Lakers Nuggets, automatically, because it's game one. Golden State Warriors versus the Suns. These both games are Tuesday night, and they're the only two games on Tuesday night. Wednesday, Dallas Mavericks versus my San Antonio Spurs. The birth and first game of Mr. Wembanyama. That should be big time. Everybody wants to see what he's going to do in a regular season game. Thursday, you got the 76ers going up against the Bucks. You got Damian Lillard in his first game as a Buck. We don't know if Harding's going to be there for the 76ers, but that's a game of the night for me. You got the Suns with Chris Paul now on that team going up against the LA Lakers. That's going to be on Thursday. That 76ers Milwaukee game is also Thursday. Friday, you got Boston, Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics. You got the Clippers versus Utah. Saturday, I would say there are no special games. There is basketball, but nothing special. Then Sunday, you got Denver versus those upstart OKC. Then you got my San Antonio Spurs going to play the Los Angeles Clippers. So this week, the Eagles signed Julio Jones. I think that was a big, good pickup for them. If he could stay healthy, and even if he only helps them in four or five games plus the playoffs, that is a big get. I don't know why my Cowboys didn't at least do a feeler. Maybe they did, and he told them no. I do not know. The Chiefs traded back for Mecole Hardman. He was with the Jets for a cup of coffee and a Danish or a bagel, whatever you want to call it. And now he's back home with the Chiefs where he's won the Super Bowl. I'm sure he's much happier being able to catch passes from Patrick Mahomes than he is from Zach Wilson. That's for sure. So Thursday, the Jaguars beat the Saints 31-24. Travis Etienne became the first player in Jaguar history to rush for two touchdowns in three consecutive games. Now, Sunday, the Patriots beat the Bills. The Patriots beat the Bills 29-25. Bill Belichick got his 300th career regular season win. New England won this game on a game-winning touchdown in the final seconds. The Patriots have snapped their three-game losing streak, and this was their first win at Gillette Stadium this year. I don't understand the Bills. I don't understand why they have these lackadaisical first halves where they only put up like 3 points. They always seem to be playing catch-up. They're not who we think they are, and they got exposed again. You go out and you beat a good team. You beat a good team like the Dolphins, I guess a good team. Then you lose to Jacksonville. Then you follow that up by losing to the Patriots. Makes no sense. The Ravens put their foot in the Lions' ass. Lamar Jackson went off. He had 4 touchdowns, 3 passing, 1 running. The Bears beat the Raiders 30-12. This rookie Tyson Bagent from a school in West Virginia, he led three touchdown drives. He was playing because Justin Fields is out. And I wish I could recall the name of this school right now, but it's slipping my mind. Look up Tyson Bagent, B-A-G-E-N-T. He is a Division II player from a teeny-weeny school, like I said, in West Virginia. I was so happy for this guy. You know what? Every once in a while, I actually root for a team to win because this backstory of the play is so fantastic that you don't even think about it. The Giants beat the Commanders 14-7. It should have been a 17-0 win. They missed the field goal. Sterling Shepard muffed a punt in the third quarter, which gave the Commanders the ball right in the red zone. But then the Giants, being the Giants, they had to make a last-second stand, and it ended a four-game losing streak for them. Congratulations to the Giants. The Falcons beat the Buccaneers 16-13. Younghoe Koo hit a game-winning 51-yard field goal. This was one of those division rivalry games. The Falcons are going to make you play dirty every week. They are a strong team. They're not overly, like, brand name, but they fight and they play good and they play hard every week. I give them that. The Browns and the Colts played a fantastic, crazy game yesterday, which the Browns won 39-38. I can't believe that these two teams, one with Garner Minshew and the other one with P.J. Walker, because Deshaun Watson was knocked out of the game, were your starting quarterbacks and all these points were scored. But the Myles Garrett show was on in full effect. This dude was here, there, and everywhere being destructive, a wrecking crew. I mean, he is special. The Steelers beat the Rams 24-17. The Steelers outscored the Rams 14-0 in the fourth quarter. I don't understand the Rams. Puka was having a great first half. Their running backs was running the ball well. Stafford didn't look bad. Yet and still, they only scored 17 points and lost to a Pittsburgh Steelers team, which does not have a lot of offense. The Seahawks beat the Cardinals 20-10. Jackson Smith, Najabi, and Jake Bobo both caught touchdown passes. The Jake Bobby Bobo touchdown was awesome. I didn't even think he had his feet in bounds, but after review, they gave him the touchdown. The Chiefs beat the Chargers. The Chargers are nothing. They're not what people think they are. Justin Herbert is way overrated, people. That's just my opinion, and I'm going to run with that. 31-17, Patrick Mahomes had a Patrick Mahomes game. He threw for 424 yards, four touchdowns. Kelce, in front of his girlfriend, Miss Skinny, caught 12 passes for 179 yards and a touchdown. The Broncos almost blew it again, but they won the game 19-17 over the Packers. PJ Locke had an interception late in the second half to save them from another Bronco meltdown. And in what everybody thought was a preview of maybe the Super Bowl and the most desired game to watch yesterday, the Dolphins lost to the Eagles 31-17. Jalen Hurts passed for 279 yards. He threw a touchdown and he ran for one. A.J. Brown had 10 catches for 137 yards. This is his fifth straight game with 125 plus yards. Jalen Hurts is feeding A.J. Brown ridiculously. The Dolphins have failed to beat a good opponent again. If you look at the Dolphins' records, every team they beat, none of them have more than two victories. Tua Tagovailoa has not beat a good team since he was in Alabama. And tonight, we got the 49ers at the Vikings. The 49ers should be angry if they're healthy, if Debo's feeling good. The Vikings, I don't believe in them. The 49ers, like I said, should be seething. They should want to eat some blood and some fresh meat. And the Vikings are going to be that fresh meat, especially without Justin Jefferson. They're not scary at all. You can get to Kirk Cousins. So I predict that the Vikings will lose to the 49ers, maybe by at least 10 to 17 points. Now, next week, Thursday night football, you got the Tampa Bay Bucs going into Buffalo to play the Bills. The Bills got to be seething. They're on a two-game losing streak. They cannot afford to lose this game at home. This is their season. They're playing for everything Thursday night. So I say Buffalo Bills will win this game. The Rams are going into Dallas to play my Cowboys. Cowboys are coming off a bye. There's no way in the world the Cowboys can afford to lose this game. They have to beat the Rams. The Vikings are going into Green Bay to play the Packers. I think Minnesota will be able to fix some of their wounds and problems and beat the Green Bay Packers. The Atlanta Falcons are going to play Tennessee. Tennessee is coming off a bye. I got Atlanta winning this game. The Saints are going in to play the Colts. I like the Colts. They had got their running game together yesterday, so I like them. New England is going into Miami. Miami's another team licking wounds and being embarrassed, so they're going to bounce back against them and take it out on the Patriots. The Jets and Giants, the Battle of New York. I don't know if Daniel Jones will be back. I see this being one of those 13 to 10 games. I'm hoping that the Giants win. I cannot even believe that I am saying such a sacrilegious thing, but I'm picking the Giants to beat the Jets. Jacksonville is going into Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. I think that Jacksonville is just a better team. Philadelphia is going into Washington to play the Commanders. Philadelphia should win this game, but Washington should play them tight. It's a division rival game. The Texans are going to play Carolina. We got the number one and the number two draft pick. C.J. Stroud going up against Bryce Young. Bryce has not tasted victory yet. Stroud is looking really good with Houston, so I got to take Houston. Cleveland Browns are going into Seattle. They got to deal with the 12th man, but that defense for the Browns and Deshaun Watson should be back. So I'm picking the Browns on the road. Kansas City is going to go up into Denver, division rival, but they're going to beat Denver up at home. The Ravens are going to play Arizona. As long as you don't overlook Arizona, Denver, I mean, Baltimore should be able to beat them. But the problem is Arizona will play you tight, but you cannot underestimate them. The Bengals, coming off of a bye week, have to go into San Francisco to play the 49ers. I think that the Bengals can beat the 49ers if that offense is clicking. So I'm going to take the Bengals. The Bears are going into L.A. to play the Chargers. The Chargers actually get to get a W here. I believe that they're just a better team all around than the Bears. Justin Herbert's going to have something to prove, so he's going to have to play lights out. And that's your Sunday night game. Now, your Monday night game is the Raiders going to play Detroit. Detroit got exposed this week. I think they bounced back. They beat up on the Raiders. The Raiders are pretty much just Devontae Adams. Jimmy Garoppolo was injured once again, so I don't know when he'll be back. And that's basically it. I just want you to remember, like we stated from the very, very beginning, learn to walk with your limp. Don't be defeated by your limp. Do not take it as a something that's going to drag you down, but something that's going to actually lift you up. It's going to strengthen your faith. It's going to show the world that you're not defeated by outward appearance or something that makes you look a little different than the next human being. Because what can you do? Some of these things, they were hereditary. They were in your DNA. There's nothing you could do about them. You just have to carry them. I don't believe that we get more weight on our shoulders than we can carry, but you can carry it with grace. You can carry it with dignity. You can actually carry it with pride. Where I came from, I had a three-parter. Not the worst three-part. I'm short. This was the 70s. I'm light-skinned. And I'm handsome. That put me behind the eight ball for every ugly, taller person who thought that being light-skinned made you soft. Being cute made you soft. Being short made you weak. And you know what? I learned to fight against all three of those things. And it was no big deal. But it caused me friction that I thought that I shouldn't have had if it was a regular world. But you know what? Sometimes we have shit that goes on within our own people that makes zero sense. Zero sense whatsoever. But it happens. And you know what? You might be a woman who's small-breasted, very skinny body. Should you feel any less than a woman who's not looking like Megan Thee Stallion? No, you shouldn't. Are you traditionally beautiful? Maybe you're not, but you might be the most beautiful person anybody's ever met when you open your mouth and what flows out of you is gorgeous. So if that's your limp, that's your limp, man. You know, we have different scars, and it's all right. Your scars are your scars. My scars are my scars. And none of them makes anybody any less than the next person. We shouldn't discriminate against a person because of the form of their limb, unless they live in that limb. Because somebody develops an alcohol or a drug problem, but they conquer it, it's over. It's done. The battle is on for life. It doesn't mean that they have to stay in the gutter with that thing. I appreciate you sitting with me. I'm kind of shocked that I'm actually finishing up a little quicker than I thought I would, but that's all right. You don't want to be stuck here with me all day anyway, right? I appreciate you listening in. I hope you enjoy Strange Talk with Doc. Always love to hear from you. If you have any comments, any viewpoints that you would like to share, please do so. Just reach out to me. You can always share, like, and subscribe if that's what you please to do. I'm not going to ask you to do that. I like people to do things organically, and it's cool by me. Just having you listen to me, even if it's just your first and only time, and even if it's your first, only, and last time, I appreciate you. And I would like to tell you, like I tell you each and every time, people, peace to you and peace to yours.